Wide receiver calls for false start, Jalonzo Jackson. You don't see wide receivers call for false start very often, but he's trying to get a head start there. But it's looking like the River City is looking for a deep shot down the field there, but the play was blown dead before they could throw it that time.
Yeah, it really is, especially now. You're second and forever range right now. You just got to make something out of nothing. Try to either go for a super deep shot or try to make something, try to do a quick little screen pass or try to do a counter or something to gain some yardage back.
Rough Riders come out in the same formation they've been in with two backs flanking Samus slightly behind him. Takes a snap, looks to throw, stepped up in the pocket, throws it. And throws it to the sideline. Jackson went in. Samus threw it to the sideline, and that's going to bring up a third and 27.
Yeah, it was a bit overthrown, or side, or I guess like sort of overthrown to the sideline. But at the same time, Jalonzo Jackson just sort of, he got into his route, he cut it out, and just sort of gave up right as soon as he saw the ball getting thrown his way, just sort of out of reach. But at the same time, you want to hope that your wide receiver is going for it every single time. They're not just giving up after a cut or something like that.
Going to be a third and long here. 8:07 to go here in the second quarter. Raiders up 14-7. Samus and the offense break the huddle. Same formation they've been in. Jackson one-on-one coverage to your left. Two receivers to your right. Cerevino cheating a little bit to the right. Ivy showing blitz off the edge. Samus looks to throw.
Caught by a lineman, number 73 on that catch. And that should be illegal touching. And it's going to be a fourth down here. They're going to likely decline the penalty.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't a penalty. Even though they do have the flag, I wouldn't be surprised if they do pick it up.
Well, it's going to be illegal touching. The lineman can't be the first one to catch the ball. The officials are discussing it.
Yeah, I should.
There's no penalty on the play as the play was ruled a fumble.
Oh, players ruled a fumble. So correction, it is going to be fourth down and long.
Yeah, it looked like his arm wasn't going forward. So that's sort of why, but same time, a little bit ticky-tacky, no matter what. It was going to be a punt either way. So was it going to be a little bit further back? Was it going to be the same thing? But
fourth and very long, unofficially 30. Don't want to do the math. Math is not my strong suit. But the punt team is in. Jackson at the punter. Dalton and Woodland standing right around the 40-yard line. And I guess we're having some microphone issue there. And we are going to have a offside on the Raiders. So they're going to get five yards to get some more room to punt.
Offside, defense, number 19, 5-yard penalty, still fourth down.
Still fourth down, and still fourth and very long, but now they're going to be punting from about the 22-yard line, and Dalton and Woodland standing right around midfield waiting for this punt.
And again, both these guys, very good, very, very powerful returners. Just if you kick it to them, just got to make sure that you stay in your lane. Over the snapper's head.
Over the quarterback's head, and the Raiders fall on it. Touchdown, Raiders! Arian Ivey falls on that one, and the Raiders defense special team score once again to make it 20-7, Racine Raiders.
Yeah, again, as penalty as well, it looks like it's going to be on the Rough Riders as one of their guys is just sort of talking the rough, but I don't know.
For unsportsmanlike conduct, number 8, White.
That's sportsmanlike conduct number 8, White, likely going to be enforced on the kickoff. The Raiders to kick the extra point. Perfect. Peralta in for the extra point to make, try to make it 21-7. Snap is away, hold is down, kick is up, kick is through. The extra point is good, and the Raiders are up 21-7 with 7:11 to go here in this opening half. We're going to step away for 30 seconds. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Spring is here. The perfect home is waiting for you. Whether buying or selling, Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty is your trusted local expert. She'll guide you every step of finding the right home. First time buyer? Kelly simplifies everything. Selling? She'll price it right and market it for top dollar. Need financing guidance? Kelly has trusted lender connections. Call 262-939-4687 today to start your journey. Spring markets move fast. Call Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty to find your dream home.
Well, we are back here at Horlick Field, and okay, now they're going to move the ball up. I was confused because we had a penalty on the touchdown high snap over the punter's head. Raiders recovered. Arion Ivey recovered in the end zone, and we had a penalty, and now they're moving it up to the 50-yard line, and that's where the Raiders will be kicking off from. And unless you want to try to do a onside kick here or something to try to catch them by surprise, it likely will be a touchback. Peralta in on this kickoff for the Raiders.
And I was about to say as well, Mike Peralta in, especially because Brady Wodick has a bigger leg. I don't think we're going to disagree on that. Brady Wodick's a very good leg. With Peralta, I think it could be something tricky here. Just maybe go for an onside kick, try to get this momentum, keep on going for the Raiders.
Or a pop kick. Just kind of kick it straight up in the air and try to get down the field. The ready for play whistle is in. Peralta on the approach. Going to kick it through the back of the end zone and just missed going over the crossbar. I say we would have gave them an extra point if that would have went through, but it didn't. So it's 21-7 Raiders. The offense of the River City Rough Riders comes back on the field, trailing 21-7 with 7:11 to go here in this opening half. And the Raiders defense has a touchdown. The Raiders special teams has a touchdown. And the Raiders offense has a touchdown. All three phases of the Raiders contributing here tonight.
Yeah, it really has. Especially, too, you mentioned they're sort of having a rough game today, as you said. 20 total plays, negative 19 yards for the River City Rough Riders today. So far, it has been rough.
No pun intended, of course. Going to be first and 10 at the 25 yard line. It should be the 20, but what do I know? Three receivers to your left, one to your right. Blanchard to the right of Samus. Samus looking over the defense, put the hands up, bobbles a snap, looks to throw, has plenty of time, deep down the field, over the middle, overthrows everybody. Danowski had a chance at that, but it goes incomplete, and that's going to bring up second and 10.
Yeah, Kari Dorsey took it a little bit. He took the post a little bit flat. Normally, you want to try to go more vertical with it. I think that's exactly what Nate Samus was trying to get. Trying to get it more vertical on that post, but just took it flat and just sort of overthrew the ball.
And I wonder if the wind kind of helped that just carry in the air, too. Bring up second and 10, 7:02 here to go in this half. We are going to have an interview at halftime. Cam Haw, who has had a pretty good game already here today, is going to be our halftime guest. Trips left, one receiver right, Blanchard to the right of Samus. Samus looking over the defense. Puts his hands up. Takes a snap, low snap to his right, does get it, throws it towards the sideline, over his guy's head, incomplete, into the bench of the Rough Riders.
And again, they don't have a Jayshon Foster. They don't have a 6'6 guy that can go up and get it. So a little bit overthrown again.
Willie Clay checking into the game for the Raiders. Gage Zaradnik in there. Arion Ivey in there. Carter Meyer in there on this third down and 10 situation for the Rough Riders at their own 25-yard line. 6:56 here to go in the half. And his third down play, the wind going right into the Rough Riders' face. And Tyler, you got to wonder, the quarterback's been kind of bobbling the ball a little bit. He keeps like he keeps wiping his hand off on his pants, wondering if the warm, humid, muggy conditions is giving him some issues trying to keep his hands dry. As you see him wipe his hands again, Samus takes a snap, high snap over his head, gets it off the bounce, throws it for the sidelines, and it's going to be caught by his defensive lineman out of bounds, and that's going to bring up a fourth down and 10.
Yeah, and also, too, you can see number 44, the center, James Franklin, just sort of, or James Washington, excuse me, just sort of taking his helmet off, just sort of meandering in the middle of the field. You know that that's a lot of that is on the center right there, especially with it being an overhead snap, low snaps, late snaps. It's on the center as much as it is on the quarterback. So you know that he's taking that to heart, especially with him sort of walking off the field. Normally, if you're a center, you want to be next to your teammates. He's taking it rough right now as well.
Yeah, the snaps have not been great. And Malik Perry back there with Dalton to return this punt. The last one went over the punter's head. And the Raiders score for a touchdown on that. Better snap this time. The punt is away. Going to go towards the sidelines and out of bounds right at the 35-yard line. That went to the gain for the first down on that punt. 10-yard punt.
Not even. It's when you say the Raiders got good position, the Raiders got good field position. It's at the 32-yard line. So.
So he didn't get enough for the first down on the punt.
Yeah, he didn't even get enough for the first down. So as the wind keeps getting hold of everything here, just making everything fly away and slam shut and everything like that.
Defender Lakin off the field for the Rough Riders. Two receivers to your left, one to your right. Pistol formation. Revelinsky more in a fullback role to the left of Locke. Howard Triplett directly behind Andre Locke. Locke sends Flores in motion, takes the snap, gives it to Triplett. Triplett off to his right, trying to find the corner, gets upended for a big loss, and that's going to be a big loss there for Triplett.
Yeah, it is. You sort of saw that it was going to be a little bit of a counter, especially with Dylan Flores going in motion, trying to block out the defensive end. Just really wasn't able to do anything with that as Howard Triplett bounced it outside. When you're doing a counter, you don't want to have that happen. You want to go through right where that gap is, and there's just nothing there, so you had to bounce it outside and lost about 4 or 5.
They're going to give him a 2nd and 15. So loss of 5. 6, 10 and counting. Two receivers each way for Andre Locke. Triplett slightly behind Locke to his right. Locke looking over this Rough Rider defense, puts the hands up, gets the snap, looks to throw, plenty of time, gets the ball away, and just off the fingertips of Dylan Flores, and that's going to fall incomplete. That's going to bring up third down and long.
Yeah, as you see Jayshon Foster standing at the goal line with his hands up, like, hey, I'm wide open. Just trust me. Get another step in there and just launch it to me. He's got a good height advantage on a majority of the Rough Riders' defense. The only one that he really doesn't have anybody on is Levante Beasley, who's playing corner. But normally he's been on the opposite side of Foster. He hasn't really been one-on-one with him so far.
3rd and 15, ball at the Rough Rider, 37-yard line. The Raiders don't want to waste great field position here. Going to be trips to your left, two receivers to your right, empty backfield, Triplett out wide to your right, Foster out wide to your left. Locke looks over the defense. Rough Riders showing some pressure off the edge here, potentially. Puts the hands up, gets the snap, looks to throw, plenty of time, steps off, and overthrows Bibby Davis, and that's going to be incomplete, and that's going to bring up fourth down. The ball went off the turf.
Yeah, balling off the turf. That's one, too, where you gotta get some air under it at that point. Jayshon Foster had a little bit of a step on him. You just get it up a little bit more, lead him to it, and that's going to be a great catch, but you just can't have that sort of dart pass right there.
Yeah, I don't know if he was going for Bibby Davis there or going for Foster there. I couldn't really tell because either overthrew Foster, or I mean underthrew Foster. There are overthrew Bibby Davis, one or the other.
Yeah, it was one of those sort of midway points where I'm just like, hey, he was going for Foster. He's right there. He's a big target.
Raiders going for it. Ball at the Rough Rider 37-yard line. Same formation. Spread. Three receivers left, two to your right. Raiders going to try to go for it on this 4th and 15, kind of in no man's land. Takes a snap, looks to throw. Stepped up in the pocket, flagged down in the area of holding. And Rebel Linsky, another great catch
up the sideline, but unfortunately we have a flag, and it's likely coming back.
Yeah, we have a flag, and it also
hold it. Didn't 77 black. What was the call? No,
Anderson caught with the hold there, and another great catch by Bubba Revelinski, but it's going to be called back.
Yeah, especially, too, it looks like it was going to be close to a first down. I don't think they would have gotten it. Oh, wait, actually, yes, he would have. Sorry, it's weird looking at an angle, but yes, he would have gotten the first down.
As a result of the holding penalty against
Raiders will be punting now on this one. Brady Wodak in the punt. Sawyer Schick, the long snapper. Tavon Allen, the personal protector, and the Raiders are missing a guy. Davis, Devontae Davis, and Amar Liggins looking to return this punt. Davis at about the 4, Liggins at about the 11. Kick is away. Going to be fielded inside the 10 at the 8. And Davis gets tackled at about the 21-yard line. Not a bad return, but it's going to be first and 10 right around the 21.
Yeah, that's great by Brady Wodak. Trying to go for more hang time rather than trying to angle it, as both the Rover City Rough Riders returners were on sort of their half of the field. So if you would have kicked it to the Raiders' side, towards the near side, it could have been a bounce to try to maybe get a coffin punt, but at the same time, just try to get that hang time and just try to let your team fill the lanes and just make a tackle.
And the one thing is at this level with the now playing college rules, there's no such thing as illegal man downfield. They can just start running downfield pretty much immediately at the snap of the ball. So you do kind of get the hang time like that. You can typically get guys down there pretty quickly. First and 10 for the Rough Riders at their own 21-yard line. 3 receivers left, 1 to your right. Back slightly behind to the right of Samus. Raiders showing blitz. Samus takes a snap, looks to throw, under pressure, steps up, plenty of room to run, and slides down just before the 30-yard. They're going to give him the 30, but the slide started at the 29, but he's going to be enough for a first down.
Yeah, it looked like it was supposed to be like another draw and or counter, and he just was like, hey, we see five black jerseys in the backfield. Might as well just take it and go right there.
Yeah, they're giving the first down, but they still got a yard to go. And the officials are going to discuss that momentarily. But it should be the 29-yard line, though, because if you slide feet first, it's the ball is dead where the quarterback starts to slide. And he started at the 29.
Yeah.
Going to be second and 2 3 receivers left, 1 to your right. OJ Wilkinson, a tailback to the right of Samus. Davis by himself to his right, guarded by the Raiders 13, Corey Dalton. Samus puts the hands up. Raiders send pressure. Looks to throw under pressure immediately. Makes the man miss. Throws it.
Intercepted by Corey Dalton. Had a chance at it. And it's going to be a 3rd and 2 on that one. Hagans initially on the pressure there for the Raiders.
Yeah, it just went right through Dalton's hands. You know he's wanting that one back.
Doing his push-ups
finally. So, you know, he knows that one should have been intercepted. And that would have been a great field position for the Raiders again.
Going to be a 3rd and 2, ball at the 30-yard line of the Rough Rider. Team that doesn't really like to run the football, now they're in a situation they might have to with O.J. Wilkinson in the pistol formation behind Samus. Same formation, otherwise 3 receivers left, 1 to your right. Samus puts the hands up. Gets the snap, gives it to O.J. Wilkinson. He's going nowhere!
Orion, Ivy, Carter, Hagan, all beating him in the backfield for a loss of about two, and that's going to be a fourth and four for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, that's a great play by the Raiders linebackers, just shooting the gap as soon as they see it, put their foot in the ground, put their head in there, and just make a play. And the, especially with the offensive line of the Rough Riders, just aren't able to deal with the speed that the Raiders have been having. You look at this defensive line, you look at these linebackers score. The one thing that you got to worry about is their speed. Obviously, they got big size, but that speed that they have, that first step, just being able to beat you immediately, that's the strength of this Raiders front seven.
Especially last week's Angry Brothers Bar and Pub player of the week, Arion Ivy. He's got a great first step. Davis and Dalton back at about the 40-yard line to return this punt. Rough Riders, somebody late getting out there. Seems to be the theme of tonight. Good snap. The kick is away. A high punt. Fire is caught, and it's going to be downed at about the 48-yard line of the Raiders, and that's where the Raiders are going to take over with the football with 2:32 here to go in the first half. Raiders have two timeouts left, and we also still have the two-minute timeout coming up.
Yeah, and especially, too, as they it's another good field position for the Raiders, just trying to do something. You know, Dalton wants to get one return, but again, just get that good field position, especially with how sort of short these punts have been for the River City Rough Riders. Just make sure we can down it, make sure nobody's around it, make sure we don't do something dumb.
Andre Locke still in at quarterback. Trips left, one receiver right. Hayes in a wide receiver, more of a tight end for the Raiders. Jason Kelly, tailback to the right of Locke. Hayes comes out a little bit. Rico Flores motions to his right. Takes a snap, fakes the handoff, throws it right away to Rico Flores. He got him! And Flores runs over a defender, and he's going to get another Racine Raider first down. Gain of 10. And as I said, another Racine Raider first down.
Yeah, Rico Flores, 7 receptions on the year so far, 75 yards. So that's that nice little coming out of the backfield, just, hey, nice little safety net for Locke, and just able to hit him again.
Same formation, 2 receivers each way for the Raiders. Kelly to his right, takes the handoff to Kelly, looks to throw, has time, deep down the field to Foster. Broken up. Foster had a chance for it. Threw it into double coverage, had a chance for it, but a good breakup from the and Foster's slow to get up.
Yeah, Foster's slow to get up, which that's not what you want to see, especially for Foster, your nice little deep threat as he's sort of favoring his leg, it looks like. But again, like you said, great pass breakup by Markel Griffin, just getting his hand in there and sort of roughing it away from Foster.
We're going to, as Foster gets checked on by the trainer, we're going to bring us to the active body fitness trivia question of the game. What date were the Racine Raiders first carried on WRJN with Gary Sewer handling the play-by-play? That answer will come in the fourth quarter, so stay tuned for that. Exercise is a must for anyone looking to enhance strength and endurance on the field, in the backyard, and around the house. Let the certified personal trainers at Active Body Fitness assist and guide you in perfecting your technique, improving your movement, and reducing the chance of injury to keep you on track. So we're going to have the two-minute timeout here. We're going to step away for 30 seconds for this two-minute timeout. We'll be back in 30. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Racine, your stories are our stories.
Stories of dedication and resilience, of beauty and commitment,
of good times and of bad.
For 125 years, Rasmussen Diamonds has been part of this beautiful community of stories. We can't wait to hear yours.
Visit Rasmussen Diamonds in Racine or explore our collection online at rasmussendiamonds.com.
back at Historic Horlick Athletic Field. Foster walking off the field. Looks to be walking pretty well. Possibility it is really warm and muggy. Possibility just some cramps. Two receivers each way for the Raiders. Back to the left of Locke. Locke looks to throw. Dumps it off in the backfield. Bobbled the caught. And the running back, Kelly, gets tackled at the 40. A gain of one. And that's going to bring up third and nine.
Looks like they just say he got back to the line of scrimmage, which I would have given him that
gain
one.
Gain of none.
Gain of none. I would have given him that extra yard. He did make a nice catch. Just give him that extra yard there. But, I mean, at the end of the day, just try to make something happen now. Because, again, you're in that sort of middle weird zone where you don't really want to go for a field goal if it's fourth down. You don't really want to punt it. You just want to gain some yardage at this time.
Two receivers each way. Bibby Davis wide to your right. Woodland to your left. Then Davis in motion. Locke takes a snap. And we're going to have false start on the Raiders as the center forgot something.
For the snap, false start, offense, 5-yard penalty, still third down.
I think everybody but the center remember the snap count there.
Yep, that's happened to me a few times when I'm playing, and it's never fun.
Yeah, and it's not false start on the center technically because the center is the one that dictates what happens there. But we do have a third and 15 now, same formation, two receivers each way. Flip the receivers, correction. Davis to your left, Woodland to your right. Locke takes a snap, steps up in the pocket under pressure, has to scramble, and he's going to get to about the... They're going to give him the 44-yard line, and we're going to have a timeout. Didn't see who caught it, but we do have a timeout. Oh, first timeout for the Rough Riders here. So they're going to take their first time out. And it's going to be a fourth and about 14 here. And unfortunate here that the pressure got there on Locke on that third down because he had to scramble, not able to find an open man. And now we're in a fourth and punting situation.
Yeah, we really aren't, especially too. And you look to the back as well. Pablo Rovalinski looked like he had a bit of a step in the backfield, just was able to sort of find his way open, but just wasn't able to, obviously Locke wasn't able to find him or anything like that, trying to make something out of nothing. And now especially with Wodak in for punting, just try to pin him back, try to make sure they can't really do anything. And as that's sort of why you see the Rough Riders take the timeout to try to make something, especially with there just being just under a minute left.
Plus they get the ball to start the second half. Wodak and the punt. Davis and Liggins back to return this for the Rough Riders. Good snap. Kick is away. They sent pressure this time. High punt. Going to take a bounce inside the 10, and it's going to go into the end zone for a touchback, and it's going to be first and 10 for the Rough Riders at their own 20-yard line.
Yeah, that was a great job by the River City Rough Riders return team. Just trying to make, like, hey, I'm actually going to go get it. Actually, no, I'm not. Just let it sort of roll back into the end zone because you don't know if he did do a fair catch or anything like that. So you don't get that penalty as well.
It was a little close for comfort there, though, with the returner being so close to it.
Yeah.
The Rough Riders do get the ball for the start of the second half, so... The Rough Riders can score here. They can make it an interesting football game going in the locker room, but they have the ball at their own 25-yard line. They got to go 75 yards and 49 seconds with two timeouts. Going to send the two receivers right, one to your left. Full backfield, Clay and Blanchard flanking Samus slightly behind him. Samus puts the hands up, gets the football, looks to throw. Under pressure, gets it away. High throw, incomplete. Corey Dalton on the coverage, and that's going to bring up second down.
Yeah, that was great coverage by Dalton. Just timed it perfectly, too, where it wasn't a pass interference. That when he tried it, when you saw the wide receiver try to go for it, he just sort of tackled him in the air as the ball was getting there. So that's great timing by him and making sure that, hey, they can't convert that.
Going to be a second and 10, 43 seconds to go here in this opening half here. Raiders up 21-7 over the River City Rough Riders. Have a touchdown from the offense, the defense, and the special teams here today for the Raiders. Defense for the Rough Riders as well. Only one offensive touchdown in this game. Two receivers right, one to your left, same formation. Jackson by himself to the left. Ivy showing blitz. Samus takes a snap, looks to throw. Ivy does come under pressure. Quarterback has to get it off. Screen pass to the tailback. And Gage the Rodnick gets the tackle there. And that's going to bring up a second down, or third down, I'm sorry, and about five. And we're going to have another timeout by the Rough Riders with 31 seconds to go here in this half.
Yeah, and even though that was sort of a converted screen with how fast the Raiders defense got back there, the River City Rough Riders offensive line just sort of stood around as soon as the running back got the ball. That's something you don't want to see. You want to see the offensive line sort of flow into the ball, especially when it does get dumped down to the running back right there. Just go to it, just sort of follow it, and maybe try to make some block, make something happen.
Well, going to be a third and five, the ball at the Rough Riders own 30-yard line, and they've been trying to go deep a couple times here, Tyler, usually to Davis or Jackson. I'm guessing they're going to look to probably try to hit one of those two on a double move.
Yeah, I would not be surprised, especially with how fast and how they've been able to get that sort of extra step in front of the Raiders' defensive backs, especially if Nate is able to get that ball on the money for him, then that's a great play. But so far it has not been working.
Raiders did have an injured player, it looks like. Hagans limped off the field. They flipped the formation. Two receivers left, one to your right. Backfield set up the same with Blanchard and Clay, each on both sides of the quarterback, slightly behind him. Samus puts his hand up, takes a snap, looks to throw, gets the ball away, and it's going to be caught by the receiver. Lakeem Johnson on that catch gets enough for the first down, and because we're playing, so, and this is where the rules are different for both teams. The Rough Riders typically play NFL rules. That would have been, he would have been able to get up and run like that, but because we play Educators Credit Union replay there, because we play college rules here, he was down.
Yep. As they do spike the ball, so that way they don't have to run the clock. I don't know if the refs were ready for it, because I didn't hear a whistle like they were signaling that.
Yeah, I didn't hear the ready for play whistle come in. Didn't see Keith Turner signal for the clock to start there. And a big thank you to Educators Credit Union, our replay sponsor here. Forgot to mention them on a couple of the. Prior to snap for something. Well, I got 19 seconds, so Mike could be wrong there. Second down and 10, 20 seconds to go here. Two receivers left, one to your right. Sam is looking over this Raider defense. Puts the hands up, gets the snap, looks to throw. Throws it deep down the field, and it's going out of bounds, and it's going to bring up third down. And that was another situation where the Samus looked like he was starting to go before the ball got there. We do have an injured Raider player on the field. We are going to leave it here and going to show you that trivia question one more time. What date were the Racine Raiders first carried on WRJN with Gary Sewer handling the play-by-play duties? I don't know if we have an injury timeout.
Nate and Arian Ivy are sort of hobbling off the field. Arian Ivy looks like he got kicked and or chopped in a little bit of the nether regions, but Nate Thomas looks like he's limping with his knee, which is sort of bad for the River City Rough Riders, as they don't have another quarterback listed on the roster. The only one that they really have is Kari Dorsey, who's a wide receiver for them, and especially with this going super low, it's gonna be very rough here. So just trying to make sure something out of nothing, as you see Nate Samus, especially when it's just before halftime, you don't want to get him injured, especially since he's had a rough history here with getting injured.
Third and 14 seconds to go here. One receiver takes a snap, different quarterback in there, and he's going to tuck and run. Big game by number 12,
Carl Dorsey on that carry, and he gets out of bounds after getting the first down. But we have a flag down. Going to be an area of holding.
White.
AC Riley called for the hold there. Educators Credit Union replay. We're going to see the hold by 00 or not. Yep, right there. Coughlin got held. He's going to step out for Ivy coming back in. Third and 15, because it is from the spot of the foul. 7 seconds to go here in this first half. Rough Riders using their last timeout of the first half. We are going to leave it here. Kind of Dorsey still in a quarterback here for the Rough Riders, so... It definitely looks like Tyler, he's a guy that doesn't mind taking off and running.
Yeah, especially with him being a wide receiver. So you know he has that speed. On the season so far, he's got 5 receptions for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving-wise. Hasn't logged a single quarterback as quarterback stat so far. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do try to take some deep shots, maybe try to do some quarterback draws, maybe try to get him running, get him in the open field, especially with the Raiders playing more of a sort of prevent defense, especially with there being only really less than 10 seconds on the clock before halftime.
The ready for play whistle comes in. The last time the Rough Riders played, June 7th, they beat the St. Paul Pioneers 36-6. Before that, the Dubuque Miners 37-0. The one loss of the year came to the Sheboygan County Sabercats, where they lost 22-19. Going to have 2 receivers left, 1 to your right. Running backs on each side of Dorsey. Dorsey puts the hands up, takes the snap, looks to throw, and he's going to get sacked and tackled in the backfield at the 30-yard line. And that's going to take us to half. No. Is it? I think it's half time. Raiders seem to be walking off, but we do have some extra stuff going on right now. But the Raiders players are walking off the field for halftime. And we have reached halftime here at Horlick Field. The Raiders enter the locker room with the lead of 21-7. When we come back, you're going to have a halftime interview with Cameron Hall. We'll be back in 60 seconds. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Do you ever feel like something's missing, like you're meant to give back but don't know where to start? At Our Harmony Club, you can make a real difference in the lives of older adults just by sharing your time. Whether you love to cook, craft, lead games, or simply brighten someone's day, Our Harmony Club needs you. Volunteer once a week or more and discover the joy of giving and receiving. Visit ourharmonyclub.org to learn more. That's ourharmonyclub.org to volunteer.
Racine, welcome to the tropics, right on Durand Ave. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, they're blending smoothies your way. Add-ins like protein, collagen, and even the perfect sweetness level. It doesn't stop at smoothies. Fuel up with toasted wraps, sandwiches, or go hazelnuts for the tropic bowls. Try the acai with Nutella, or power up with their peanut butter protein crunch bowl. 32 grams of protein and major vacation vibes in every bite. Now open at 6035 Durand Ave. Made to order, made for you. Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Vacay starts here.
We're at the half of the Racine Raiders game against the River City Rough Riders, and we're joined tonight by Racine Raiders linebacker slash defensive lineman Cam Hall. Cam, welcome to our broadcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now a newcomer to the team this year, so set it up a little bit. Where do you come from? You know, what's a little bit of your football pedigree?
So originally I'm from Decatur, Illinois. Been all over when it comes to football. But with situation now and living in Wisconsin with some close family friends and getting things set up after last year, you know, had a trip again back in arena football. And then, you know, things for me just didn't work out this year. So with living in Wisconsin and trying to get things figured out with me personally and looking at where football is for me now, I thought Racine would be a good place for me.
Now, being from Decatur, is that where you played high school football?
Yep. So originally I'm from Decatur, Illinois. Like I said, so I went to St. Teresa High School in Decatur. So a small 2A program, 2A, 3A program in Illinois.
And what was your high school experience like? What I'm assuming you had to play both ways. Did you have a preference?
Yep. So playing both ways and actually in high school, I was bigger on my team being only about 215, 220. So I actually played left guard and defensive end in high school. So didn't really like offensive line, but did what I had to do as far as the team. You know, I think I only lost about six games in high school. So from a winning program and did what I had to do. And then obviously that eventually took me to college and a big position change for me, always having my hand in the dirt, but then transitioning to linebacker going to college.
Talk about college a little bit. Where did you go and what was that experience like for you?
So I bounced around a little bit when it came to college. Originally going to Monmouth College out of St. T. And transitioned to a linebacker, outside linebacker based on my speed. Just, you know, working through that. That was a big transition for me. From there, you know, eventually after some time went by and fixed things with grades and stuff. Like a lot of guys experience, I went out to Ottawa University out in Kansas. So that was an NAIA program. So that was a big transition too from D3 going to NAIA. And then kind of the same deal, kind of a stand-up end outside linebacker position based in their defense. And unfortunately, you know, things kind of didn't work out for me there again, college-wise. And, you know, my grandparents getting older and family and being farther away and the way they supported me going through college and everything like that, I transitioned back to Illinois. And finished college at Elmhurst College in Elmhurst, Illinois. So back to a D3, which it wasn't a problem. It was still football. And kind of same thing there. I transitioned back and forth between, you know, sometimes mostly outside linebacker and then middle linebacker for a little bit and then defensive end. So kind of that hybrid role, similar to what I'm doing now for the Raiders. And I actually enjoy it, you know, being able to playing both positions at different times or when needed to help the team out.
Monmouth, a pretty good program there. I've called a couple of their games in the Lakefront, Cousin mm-hmm. Subs Lakefront Bowl up here. They've appeared, okay. I think, in every one of those now. So a solid program that you got to start with there.
Oh, yeah, definitely a good program there. And actually, my freshman year played with a guy named Alex Tanney who went to the NFL and, you know, I had that experience with, you know, some other guys at different programs, you know, Ottawa, you know, some guys that made NFL, CFL teams. So I've played around and some good talent and continued that even, you know, after college from the semi-pro and then the professional arena ranks that I've done since college as well.
So you come out of college, still have the football dream alive, obviously, the spark because you're now eventually here. But you talked about arena, you talked about semi-pro. Where are some of the other places that you've had the opportunity to play?
Oh, man, it's never really stopped, to be honest, you know, starting to play football from 10 years old. But, you know, after college, I ventured into semi-pro. Played some semi-pro arena with the Midway Marauders when they had an indoor team. And then obviously going to outdoor, playing a couple years with the Chicago Chaos and then getting into arena ball, you know, starting in Illinois with the Bloomington Edge before that program folded. But then going out to Omaha with Omaha Beef, then moved up to the IFL, a higher level from the CIF, and played 2 years in North Dakota with the Bismarck Bucks, transitioned down to Louisville, played with the Louisville Extreme in the IFL for a year. And was very popular to Fan Control Football League. So I played in that, actually where I won my professional championship. So doing that as well. And then just unfortunately not getting a call for a couple years, you know, after that fan controlled year. I did play a year with the Illinois Cowboys, who we actually played earlier this year. And then from there, the past 2 years, I played with the Leiden Lions. And then now this year, you know, I transitioned out, went to Montana, played with the Billings Outlaws through camp, and then transitioned on a release and signed out to Oregon with the Oregon Lightning. So both of those teams being in AF1. So I've had quite the experience and travel and being all over the country when it comes to football. And then obviously from those situations not working out personally for me this year and transitioned back to the Midwest and, you know, knowing a lot of guys and playing a lot of guys that are now with the Raiders and, you know, living in Wisconsin and figuring things out, you know, from this transition this year, you know, trying to help them continue to win and do what we need to do to stay on track with the season.
Been all over the place playing football. Where's kind of been your most fun, rewarding stop? Was that fan controlled league since it was your first professional title or?
Yeah, the Atlanta was fun. I think it just based on the experience or wherever I played, depending on the league or the team. So the experiences have been kind of different every year. Obviously having that big moment winning a championship there and that was huge. But I always kind of enjoyed my rookie year and playing in Omaha and, you know, experiencing places like cold North Dakota and things like that and all the snow. So Louisville was, you know, nice weather almost the entire time I was there. Very similar to Atlanta. So it just kind of it depends on what you break down of it and what circumstance you want to talk about as far as football or arena or the travel part of that, you know. And even this year, you know, I'd never been as far as the West Coast and going all the way out to Montana and then Oregon. So I've had some experiences and some funs and the ups and downs and roller coasters of that part of football too. So, but it's all been a great journey and a ride, whether it was ups or downs and things I'll never forget from everywhere I've experienced.
Talking to Racine Raiders defensive lineman, linebacker Cam Hall. And Cam, you and I, we're familiar with the fan-controlled football league. Kind of in a nutshell, can you give folks that are watching this interview an idea for what that was?
So it was different, and especially playing in that league after COVID, it was kind of at the bubble factor. So you had enough guys for 8 teams, and we all lived together. We all practiced together. So it was very different than your traditional professional or arena setup where you have your team and you practice at where you're from and travel across the country or whoever is in your league. So that one was very different and helpful at the same time. So I think there was good things about that league. The different thing was with the fans. I wasn't so much on the entertainment and experience that I was more or less get the business, let's play football. But with fans calling plays, that was huge and different, and getting the fan connection experience. A lot of celebrities and celebrity athletes owning teams. So there was a big entertainment purpose in fan control. But when you got down to it, it was still about playing football. And what I tell guys, that's why I got the benefit, and I'm glad I played defense because I didn't have to run the fans' plays. So that was all for offensive guys. So I had, you know, my coach on the sideline like normal, calling out plays and formations and everything like that, going play to play and week to week and things like that. So I was happy about that standpoint.
Yeah, can kind of tie Racine together with that a little bit, because this may be some knowledge that you don't know, but the Racine Raiders actually played in the first game where fans could call plays back in the 80s through cable television. There was a way for fans to use their remote to call plays, and the Raiders played that in Columbus, Ohio. And then it seems like how the fan-controlled league started out was very similar to how the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League with the Racine Bells and Rockford Peaches started out, where they were all together for like tryouts and everything and some of that stuff before they kind of went to their own teams and did their own thing. So kind of some pretty cool potential tie-ins, maybe real loosely, right? So
yeah, I mean, but it's still a cool concept. I mean, because that's where that concept for fan control came from. There were some guys that, you know, owned a team and that used to be, I believe, in the IFL, and that's how they set up things, and that's what they wanted to do, make it like a video game, get fans more involved and things like that. So I think it's a cool tie-in, and you put some knowledge on me there, so that's a cool thing to in a way, like, even though it's not that way now, but tied into that experience in the history of playing for the Raiders now.
Well, Cam, I always like to give, especially our noobs on here, an opportunity to give some shout outs before we before we send everybody off here. So any shout outs you want to give to folks?
Oh, yeah, I just my teammates, as always. And, you know, I can't do anything without my teammates, my coaches and everything. You know, ups and downs is going to happen in a season, but I think we got things, you know, handled and going forward, and I think we'll be fine. You know, we've seen some downs recently, but I think we're still all together, collective, and we still got the same goal, you know, same mindset, you know, week in and week out. Obviously my family, you know, my family's always been close to me, keeping track. I got family friends that I'm living in Wisconsin, that are very connected through my grandma, who passed away during my arena career and things like that. And my uncle as well. And, you know, I still got my grandpa, my mom, a little brother and family down in Illinois. And they watch every week, you know, and my mom and them are planning to come up to a game later this year up in Racine. So, just shout out to all those people. And then obviously, of course, with my family and upbringing, you know, obviously, you know, continue to stay healthy and, you know, and having and God on my side and continue to watch over my teammates and get us healthy and keep making this run and, you know, turn some things around and go back and fight in playoffs pretty soon.
All right. Thanks, Cam. That was Racine Raiders defensive lineman, linebacker Cam Hall. We'll be back in a minute with the stats from the first half, the Racine Raiders and River City Rough Riders. This is Racine Raiders football on the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Come out and visit Time and Again Music. We have a huge selection of vinyl, over 10,000 titles in stock. We've got everything. We got rock, soul, jazz, country, R&B, soundtracks. So a little of this, a little of that. Make a list every time you hear something on the radio. Have a little tiny pad of paper somewhere and jot down a group, a song title. That way when you come in, you've got an idea of what you're looking for. I'm Ray Zirkle, owner of Time and Again Music. 9602 Durand Avenue in Sturtevant. It's a block west of the Antique School Mall.
Spring is here. The perfect home is waiting for you. Whether buying or selling, Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty is your trusted local expert. She'll guide you every step of finding the right home. First-time buyer? Kelly simplifies everything. Selling? She'll price it right and market it for top dollar. Need financing guidance? Kelly has trusted lender connections. Call 262-939-4687 today to start your journey. Spring markets move fast. Call Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty to find your dream home.
Here at Historic Horlick Athletic Field, where we have ending halftime, Raiders up 21-7. I'm going to throw it over to Tyler Sorensen to bring you some first half stats.
Yeah, so far in the game, so far, Andre Locke Jr., 7 of 13, 118 yards, 2 sacks for both 45 and 1 touchdown. And to Nate Samas, 4 of 18, only 27 yards. So really showing that, hey, they're taking the time, trying to go down the field, and just has not been able to happen. In total for their rushing attack, they don't really have much. They got 14 attempts for negative 28 yards. So not really able to do much. Same with the rushing attack for the Raiders, as in total they have 10 attempts for negative 9 yards. A lot of that happening because of the sacks on top. In total, first down, Racine Raiders have 6 to River City's 3. Third down efficiency, River City Rough Riders are 1-10 to Raiders 0-4. Just hasn't been able to really do much on it completely. Penalties, 9 for 75 for River City, 6 for 45, excuse me, for the Racine Raiders. Just all in all, just not really able to do much. The only thing that the River City Rough Riders have going their way, time of possession, 19 minutes to only 12 minutes. But again, a lot of scoring so far has come on the defensive side.
I was
going to
say, part of that is because the Raiders are giving the ball right back to the River City Rough Riders on a couple of occasions.
That as well. So just got to worry for that. That's really the biggest thing. But again, defense has been going well so far as River City is getting the ball first out of halftime.
Trying to see who the kicker is going to be here for the Raiders. I don't think we have a kicker out there yet.
It's going to be Wodak.
Oh, actually, Peralta.
Oh, Peralta will be kicking. Wodak tricked me. It looked like he was going to go out, but he gave the ball to Peralta, and he'd bring it out to the official. The Raiders, to open up the second half, will be kicking from the south to the north. The wind has died down a little bit. It's down to 16 miles per hour. Still pretty, and that's a consistent wind. It's not a 16-mile-per-hour gust. It's a 16-mile-per-hour consistent wind. It was about 26 throughout the first half, down to about 16, and it's down to 90 degrees with 99 heat index. So it's cooled off slightly, but it's still really warm and muggy out there. Dorsey and Liggins are back there to return this kick. Peralta on the approach. The kick is away. Deep booming kick going to be fielded about the two. Correction, fumbled. Going to go into the end zone, and Davis is going to take it out. Makes a man miss, but he's going to get to the 10-yard line. We do have a flag down, and that's in the area of a face mask. So it's going to be a 15-yard penalty on the Raiders to open up this half, and we have another flag.
There's three flags on the field now.
Two of them are holding. The third one, I'm not sure. Two of them are face mask. Not sure what the third one is. And we have more being 40, thrown.
Our fourth.
42 is probably going to be escorted out of the game today.
42 for the Rough Riders?
Mm-hmm.
We have laundry all over the place and a half. So we're going to have likely a face mask on the Raiders. And not sure what the other flags are.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those where there's going to be a lot of offsetting, trying to see what happens. And just
well, all the dead balls are count. Any dead ball is enforced.
Yeah.
So if there's a live ball, dead ball, they're both enforced, which if they're both 15-yard penalties, they're going to basically wipe each other out.
Yeah. There's one good thing, though, for...
Oh, Keith's just tricking us now.
Keith's tricking us. But it looks like Nate is going to be back in. You sort of see him on the sideline, just sort of walking around, waiting for his coach to see what happens with the penalties.
Okay, we have multiple penalties. Okay, we have personal foul, blindside block on number 11, White. We have personal foul, face mask on the tackle, number 36, Black. Those penalties will offset. After the play was over, we have unnecessary roughness, number 42, White. After that, we have unsportsmanlike conduct, number 42, White.
So both those unsportsmanlike conducts will be enforced, but it's going to be a half the distance to the goal penalty. 42 should be done now with those both going against them.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to figure everything out here, sort everything out the best they can. Keith Turner, the white hat. Doesn't have his white hat on right now, though. He threw that somewhere. The umpire is Josh Willis. Line judge is Chris Borman. Headline judge, Adam Incline. The field judge, Maurice McLean. Other side judge, Chris Barnes. And the back judge, Alfredo Jackson, is our crew.
The two live ball fouls will offset. After the play was over, we have unnecessary roughness, number 42, White. That'll be half the distance to the goal. After that, we have unsportsmanlike conduct, number 42, White. That'll be another half the distance to the goal. It'll be first down this way.
So he didn't disqualify 42, though.
Yeah, which is surprising because I guess because it's one is unsportsmanlike conduct and the other is unnecessary roughness.
True.
So it's not two unsportsmanlike conducts, which will immediately get you kicked out of the game. But again, if you're the Rough Riders, you can't have that because now the ball is at your own 2-yard line, and especially with how this defense has been getting back there almost immediately, it's going to be rough for them to try to get this ball out of their end zone.
Yeah. So we had a blindside block and a face mask, which offset because they were live ball fouls, and then because the other two were dead ball, they were both enforced, and because of the field position, they were just half the distance. So it's going to be first and 10 for the Rough Riders at the 3-yard line. Samus in the shotgun formation. Two receivers right, one to your left, back behind him slightly. Samus takes the snap, gives the handoff to the back, looks to be Clay, and Clay's going to get just around to the 5-yard line before being brought down, and that's going to bring up a second and about 7, and we have an injury on the field.
Yeah, it looks like offensive lineman number 73 for the Rough Riders, which we do not have a number for, so we'll try to get that back to you as soon as we can. But it looks like he was down for a little bit, just sort of wincing in pain, just sort of trying to walk it off. Looks like it might be an ankle, which especially as an offensive lineman, that's something that will happen every single play. You always get rolled up on something. Your ankle gets rolled up, knee gets rolled up, foot gets stepped on. That happens every single time.
I wonder if that's Stoney West, somebody we didn't have a number for when we got the rosters from them. He is an offensive lineman, so. Second and 7 at their own 6-yard line. Same formation. Going to send out 2 receivers to your right. 1 to your left. Dave Clay in the backfield behind Sam in the pistol. Takes the snap. Gives it to Clay off the left side. Nowhere to run. Makes one man miss. And he's going to get another yard. Maybe 2, and that's going to bring up 3rd down.